Well, if you're wondering where Pastor Peggy is and where Pastor Scott is, they are on vacation. They're celebrating their wedding anniversary. I don't remember what number it is. 21st wedding anniversary. But hey, that's a good thing. I don't know about y'all, but they're on vacation. They're taking some well-needed rest. And I mean, this time she took a vacation because I sent her an email on Wednesday and I got an out-of-office reply. So she was really serious about taking a vacation, you know, but she'll be back. She'll be here Monday night for Daniel Willard Groves, but she'll officially be back on Tuesday. All right. So they're enjoying their vacation, their time off. But hey, thank God for the same Holy Ghost that lives in each and every side of inside of each and every one of us. Amen. So we're going to be starting a new series. We're going to be starting studying the book of Galatians. And this is going to be the intro to it. And Pastor Peggy is going to take the rest for when she comes back. But today, we're going to be talking about living in the tree of life. Living in the tree of life. You know, God intended for us to live a good life. That's what he intended for us to do. That's what he did. And that's why he gave us the gift. Somebody say gift.
Gift.
Somebody, he gave us the gift of Jesus Christ. What is a gift? If I give you something and there's all kinds of strings attached to it, like, well, if I do this, I expect you to do this, and there's expectations attached to it, is that really a gift?
No.
A gift is something that is free. I give it to you for your enjoyment. So now, Jessica, I'm about to, for demonstration purpose only, I'm about to give Jessica $50. For demonstration purposes, my wife is like, we are. For demonstration purposes only, you can open it, show it to them. It's $50. Yeah, $50. That's a gift, free, hers, that's whatever. I'm going to give Ben $50. It's a lot of ones in here, but it's $50.
I can't just take it, though.
What?
I can't just take it.
What do you mean?
Let me do something for you.
Here, it's yours, though.
No. Let me just clean your shoes or something, man.
No, it's yours.
All right.
It's yours. That's yours, free, clear. All right. Yours. You good?
I'm good.
You good? What's the difference in between the two? One thought he had to work for it. What he wanted me to do, he's like, let me do something for you first. Let me do something for you. But this is how we treat God sometimes. He gave us the gift of Jesus Christ for us. He gave us the gift. He didn't say, I want salvation. He said, it's a gift. But so many times, we try to do things to earn it when God is saying it is simply a gift. You know, this is the thing. There is no way for God, for us to repay God for what he did for us. So we might as well just receive the gift and enjoy it. There is no amount of work. There is no amount of effort that anyone can do, anyone in the world ever come, and even from the beginning of time to now, even if we combine all the good works, it will still not even be close to what God did for us when he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. There's nothing. But back in the day in Galatia, that's where you get the book Galatians from, they had this kind of gospel and they were falling into this thinking. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Definition of different in this? Is another God, is another, not the same nature, not the same form, not the same class, not the same kind. It is totally different. That's what they're saying here. And if you go to verse 10, It says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. When we do works and we try to earn it, that's our way, honestly, that's our way of pleasing ourselves to feel better to receive a gift. It doesn't have anything to do with God. When at the root of it, it is simply a selfish act. Because you feel, number one, you don't feel good enough. Or number two, you don't want to depend on anybody else that much that you could receive something for free. The gospel is simply this. We receive Jesus as a gift and we enjoy the benefits of salvation. Not only going to heaven, but yes, now we can enjoy the life that God has provided for us in his word. In his word. That's what it is. See, the second you don't do something, this is another way to look at it. The second you don't do something because of what people may think about you, you're out of order. You're out of order. And you know what? I am guilty of this too. I have not done things that God has told me to do because I didn't want people to look at me crazy. I think everybody can raise their hand in here on that. There have been instances where you know you're supposed to follow God. You know you're supposed to do this. You know you're supposed to talk to that person. You know you were supposed to pay the bill for that other person at the restaurant. There was a bunch of other things that you know you're supposed to do, but you didn't want them to look at you crazy. You didn't want them to think bad about you, and you held it back. We've all been there at some point. But when we do that, we are out of order. This is the thing. We need to get to the place that on every occasion, that God is the deciding factor. Every time. Or at least we need to be working towards that. We need to be working towards that. That's where it is. It shouldn't be that, and honestly, yeah, I can say this. When you disobey and you don't, and you give in to what people may think about you, yeah, you should feel bad because that's a sin. I don't care what you say. That's a sin. Thank God he's a God of repentance and he's a God of second, third, and a million chances. But yeah, it is wrong. So this is the thing. How do we become connected to living in the tree of life? How do we become connected to just living the way that God wants us to live? How do we live in freedom? I'm going to get to that, but I got to go to this first. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Many of you guys may know this. This is where we have Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, "Now the Lord had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow in the garden, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden, there was a tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." All right, we got that. There's a tree of life. There's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Two different things. All right, jump down to verse 16. "And the Lord commanded the man," talking to Adam, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not," somebody say must not. "Must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." What did God say would happen? Said you will die, okay? And he said you will die. Well, I guess you can go by different translations, but he said you will surely die. So, you know what? That's actually, I just realized something there, but we'll get to it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman," the serpent, "did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some and ate it. She also gave to her husband, who was with her. I know every woman was like, "When you gonna say that part, Pastor Devon?" Anyway, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. There's a couple things I want you to see in this. God told them, "You will surely die." He said, "Surely die," because God knew there would be a temptation. That was his way of saying, you will die. Somebody's going to try and tell you different, but you will die. Surely. And that was his way of telling that. Another thing here, if you ever notice, you got those movies, I mean, I don't watch them, but you got like Paranormal Activity 20. And all these other, the Eyes Have Hills, all these other scary movies. They try to make the devil seem like he's some coming, like the whole house is shaking and all the roar and vengeance is coming behind him. You know what the enemy came as? A friend. He came as a friend. And the thing is, at this time, Adam and Eve were still children of God. They hadn't fallen yet. So they were just like us. They were children of God, just like those of us in here that has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They were still children of God. So the enemy came in just like as a friend. He came in just to say, "No, you will not surely die." He didn't come with a, what do you call the stick with the horns, and he didn't look red, and you know, he's not the guy on the one shoulder and the angel. He's not any of that. A lot of the times, to be honest, when the enemy makes suggestions to us, lots of times, it is very logical to our human thinking. But that's the thing. But this is why we need to make the word the deciding factor. That's exactly why. See, the enemy came, and the enemy will always make it seem like the way that's opposite of God's way is so much better. He will always do that. Because look at what he said. He said, "You will not surely die. For God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." See, the enemy will always mix a little bit of truth with a bunch of lies. Because this is what he started off with a lie. "You will not surely die." But then after that, he said, "God knows that when you eat of the tree, your eyes will be opened." And you know what? That was true. Because later in the verse, it says, "And their eyes there were opened and they realized they were naked." But in the lie inside of that was that the eyes being opened was a good thing. See, this is the thing. We need to get to a point that the word of God is the deciding factor, and that's it. We don't need to know anything else. We don't need to know any other way. If God loves us so much that we need to get on. Okay, let me get this together. We need to meditate on the word so much that we believe that the simple fact that God said to do something, that's the best way to do it. That makes sense? We need to meditate on that love. Honestly, if you ever doubt that, that just simply means in that area you're doubting, you need to study that some more. And you need to develop God's way of seeing that some more. That's what that simply means. But we need to get to that point that when God says to do something, We do it, and we know that we need to do it just because he loves us. You know, I got a 7 and 8 year old. We have a 7 and 8 year old. Yeah, I don't, you know, we, team, praise the Lord, you know. And if any of you, you don't even have to have kids. If you've ever even taken care of a little kid and you tell them not to do something, it's because you love them and you don't want them to get hurt, right? It's a command. But for some reason, when it comes to God, when God commands us to do something, we feel like it's hard and burdensome, and God is just trying to take away our fun. And it's not the same. Oh, wait, sorry. It is the same. It is the same as when I tell Derek, don't touch the iron because it's hot. It's a command. However, there's that little rebellious nature that's in all of us that when we were little, and some as adults, we want to see, well, is it really hot? You know? And the thing is, we just have to get and meditate to the fact, and you know what? I love how God draws parallels with the spiritual and natural life. As our kids grow, and as we teach them, they will learn that what mom and dad said was right. In most things. Most things. A lot of things. Didn't we get that epiphany at one time where you'd be like, man, they knew what they were talking about. They knew what they were talking about. All of us have had that. In some form of life. We've all had that. You see, Adam and Eve, this was the root. This was the beginning of where mankind tried to reach, get closer to God through deeds. Because they wanted to know, they wanted to be like God, and they did something that they weren't supposed to do. Because here are some, this is just some things to keep in mind. Living in the tree of life is simply accepting and receiving what God has done for you. It is simply saying, God sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. I don't have to do anything to receive it. I don't have to do anything to earn it. I don't have to do push-ups. I don't have to pray 10 hours a day. If you could pray 10 hours a day, praise the Lord. Let me give you some stuff to pray about. But, I don't have to do all these deeds to get closer to God because God, he's already given the gift. As it says in, I think it's James, God gave his son Jesus for us. So why else would he hold anything else back? If I give you the most precious thing in my life to enjoy, why would I try to make you earn it? If I give you the most precious thing, I want you to have it. I want you to enjoy it because it's a sacrificial gift. I don't want you to feel like you owe me something. No, it's a gift. Here, have it. Have fun. You don't need to dust off someone's shoes. You don't need to do push-ups. Now, there are things, you need to do push-ups to get some other things. You need to eat less to get some other things, Devon. But for the gift of salvation, he just says, here, receive it, take it. That's all you need to do. When you live in the tree of knowledge, we're going to look at it as a parallel here. That's focused on God's approval. But living in the tree of life, that's just focusing and receiving God's love. You just need to receive God's love. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I had this teacher at Rhema that said this, and it stuck with me ever since. He said, God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross with no guarantee that he would receive anyone else in return. And I'm like, at first I was kind of like, what you mean? But God never forced anyone in here to receive him as Lord and Savior. He never forced any one of us. We did of our own free will. So there was no guarantee, but he did it. He did it. He looked at it, it's like, he did it. And that's just so, that's so amazing for me, to me. In 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because he first loved us. Because God didn't wait, you know, because God first loved us, there is nothing that he will hold back. Nothing. 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 But sometimes the enemy will bring that mindset that you are too bad to come back. You did too much crap in your past to come back. You did this, you stole this, you did this. He'll try to bring you the whole photo room of even from when you stole the cookie from when you were 5 years old, if need be. He will try. He will try. He will try. So that's, is that where it started? He will try. But the thing is, we have to have the word so built up in us that that's what comes up when he tries to do that. It needs to spring up. But you have to have the word in you for it to spring up. You have to. And coming to church and listening to Pastor Peggy and listening to Pastor Devon and Pastor Steve and Pastor Angel isn't good enough. I'm sorry. It's not good enough. How many of you guys ever learned something by doing it once every week? How many of you guys have ever retained something by only doing it once a week? I don't think any of us. Like once a week? My son is playing basketball. He loves playing basketball. And I told him, if you want to get better, you got to go outside and dribble around the cones. You got to do your free throws. You got to work on your form. Anaya, she, as you guys know, she does gymnastics. So proud of her for getting fourth place overall. That's the dad talking. I was so proud of her for getting fourth overall in her age group. Out of the nation. Yeah. Anyways, out of the nation, you know. That's, you know, out of the nation. But you know what? That didn't happen because she went to practice once a week. It didn't happen that way. It happened by going like three times, sometimes two, sometimes three. A lot of gas, a lot of time, a lot of sleepless nights. But we do it because we love her. And that's something she wants to do. But she wouldn't have got fourth place in the nation by doing something once a week. Guys, how do we expect to grow by coming to church just on Sundays? And that's the only word we get for the week. Okay. You come on Wednesdays, great. How do you come over two times a week? We have to make it our own personal. We have to make it our own personal habit. We have to make it our own personal habit. Living in the tree of knowledge focuses on external duty, but living in the tree of life focuses on internal desires. 1 John 5:3 says, this is the love of God, to obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. In verse 12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Guys, when we live in the tree of life, our desires become God's desires. But when you want to just do things on your own, that's you trying to do things to earn your salvation. And as we go back to our root scripture, it says that's not really the gospel at all. So really, all of our works that we try to do to earn God's respect, it's kind of disrespectful. Just to be honest. Because God is saying, I'm giving you this for free. How is that not good enough? How is me just giving this to you not good enough? He's like, he's really just saying to you, I am your father. Sorry to sound like Star Wars. I am your father. Luke. Anyway, yes, I am your father. I just want you to have it. I just want you to have it. Too much, you know. And the way I can get it, because in life, in general, for most things, you gotta do something to get something that you've never had before. You gotta do something you've never done to get something that you've never had before. So, you know, if you wanna learn, if you wanna do a certain profession, you gotta go to, if you wanna be a doctor, you gotta go to school for like 8 years. Unless you're like super genius and you go like 4 or something like that. But you gotta do something. But when it comes to the love of God, throw all of that out the window. Throw all of that, just toss it. We need to receive it. And you know what? We need to receive it just as we are. And I grew up in church and they sung that song, Come Just As You Are. You just come. I don't remember how it goes. But, yeah, that's a long time ago. But, and you need to come just as you are. But, on the same hand, when you come as you are, and you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you follow God, and you follow his word, he won't leave you the same. He will help you grow. He will help you learn. He will help you expand. He will help you just go to different places. He will help you do things that you never thought that you would be able to do. But the thing is, in able to do that, we have to lean on him and not what we do. The thing is, when we do things to earn God's salvation, we will depend on what we do rather than depend on God. And that's the key factor there. And I really believe that's why God did it this way. Because he doesn't want us to depend on our own works. He doesn't want us to feel like that sense of entitlement. That I did this to earn it. No, he's saying this is the gift. This is how we do it. God designed us to depend on him. That's how we're made. That's how we're designed to function. That's how we are just made. We're made to depend on him. But too many times we're trying to do it on our own and depend on ourselves. And as Dr. Phil says, how's that working out for you? Well, how's that working out for you? We are made to depend on God. So we are made to live from the tree of life. So you say, how do we live in the tree? How do we live from the tree of life? I'm going to give you one way today. Pastor Peggy will get the rest when she comes back. But the first one, which is the most important one, just fall in love with Jesus. Just fall in love with him. As Philip Slaughter sings when he comes here, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I ever did. Something like that. I play the bass. So, you know, that's what we do. We just need to fall in love. Because when we understand that God loves us, the things that he tells us to do will become easier. Because we understand that his love is for us. We understand that he has our back. Let's think of someone that has your back in your life. You trust their word more than you would trust mine. Because you know them better. Even though I'm Pastor Devon, you still will trust their word better than you trust mine because They've proven to you over life that you have, that they have your back. And all God is saying, I want you to love me more than anybody else so you can know I have your back more than anybody else. And as we do that and as we grow, he'll lead you from glory to glory to glory. And even when you get into some pits, like if you read the life of Joseph, he went from up, down, up, down. He's a king, he was in prison, he was up here again, ruling the house, he was in dungeon, did something down there, told him not forget about me, they forgot about him, he's still in the prison. But the one thing I love about Joseph's life is that nowhere in the scriptures you find him complaining. Even though everything that happened to him, it wasn't his fault. And when the Potiphar's wife tried to sleep with him, he was actually doing the right thing by running away. And it really comes to say, sometimes when you follow God's plan for your life, some things doesn't always seem fair. It doesn't. But that doesn't mean it's not God's plan for your life. All he's simply saying, I want you to lean on me. And I want you to trust me. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear no evil. You walk through it. There's going to be some valleys. There's going to be some valleys. But he wants you to fall in love with him so much that even though I'm in this valley, I know I have God with me. And we end with this. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And that doesn't mean like you need to obey my commandments. That means when you love him, your trust is with him. Love and trust go together, right? So when you love him, you trust him and you trust that his commandments are the best thing for your life. Have you ever done things your own way and got in a hot mess? Then you go back to do things God's way and you realize, oh, look at this. Look at Sorry. And you're just like, look at this. He was right all along. We need to, sometimes honestly, we just simply need to remember that God is a lot smarter than us. Amen. He designed the world. He designed our life. He designed everything here. So why not just lean on that? That's like a math, you're taking an exam, the math teacher is sitting right next to you, giving you all the answers, but no, you're going to just write your own answers. How silly does that sound? But I'll ask yourself this question, am I doing the same thing in my spiritual life? I'll ask you that. So we need to live in the tree of life. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Hallelujah. Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We thank you for the word today. And we thank you that we were able to see that you love us. You love us. You love us so much that you gave your son Jesus to die on the cross for us. You love us. You know, if you're here today and you say, you know, I want to live in the tree of life. I want to live connected to the tree of life. That means you want to live connected to Jesus. In the Bible, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. Because sin happened in the world and there had to be a penalty for sin. But Jesus paid the penalty for all. But in Romans 10, it says, if you believe with your mouth, believe in your heart, and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to raise your hand. Hallelujah. If you're here, you said, I've walked away from God. I've just been doing my own thing. I've been eating from the tree of good and evil. Been working it on my own. Thank God for 1 John 1:9, where it says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So if that's you and you just feel like you need to come back to God and rededicate your life, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to raise your hand. I see that. I see those hands. I see those hands. I see those hands. You can put them down. Now, we're a church family. And this is how we do it at BVC. We're all going to pray together. Say, Father God, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me. I was with you at one point, and I ran away. I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me of all unrighteousness, and I thank you, and I come back to you like I never sinned. In the name of Jesus, amen. For those of you that raise your hand, it's that simple. Never let the enemy tell you that wasn't good enough. It's that simple. I've had to do that numerous times. We've all had to do that numerous times. Because none of us is named, none of us were Jesus. Jesus was the only person that never had to pray that prayer. So never let, those of you that raise your hands, don't let the enemy tell you that's not good enough. Never. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. What am I supposed to do now? Video. Huh? Oh, yeah, the offering. How many of you guys received the word today? That's good. Woo! Ah, glory, glory, glory. Next, sir, and we got round two coming up for the 11:11 service. Hey, if you have time, stick around. You never know what might happen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the offering. We thank you.